thank the Lord for his love for us. It's a song that says, I love him because he first loved me. The lyrics go. And so the love of the Heavenly Father, that he would give us his only son. How is everybody this morning? Are you glad to be in the presence of the Lord in this place? Yeah. Well, this morning I am I'm honored, and this is a treat for all of us here today. I've known this lady all my life. She has been a wonderful mother to my brother and I growing up. So proud and thankful to say that really I feel blessed that we were raised in a Christian home, and that you and Dad pointed us in the right direction at the earliest age. So honored for that. But then also, just, you know, there's just nothing like the love of a mom. And so I'm so thankful for my mom, who constantly loved and constantly loves. And I just can't describe it. It's just you only have one mom. And so we honor our moms today. And so it's a real treat for me to be able to present to you and introduce to you, for those of you who don't know, and just invite my mother up to the pulpit. She's going to be sharing. This is her first time that she's ever shared from the pulpit. She's I'm not going to say how old she is, but she's older than me. And so, but she can add this to her resume now, that she can say that she's finally now going to be preaching. She hadn't done it yet, but in faith, we're going to trust that she's going to do well. She says, Brian, I've never spoken in front of people before. I've counseled on the phones. I've talked with people one-on-one, but I've never done this before. I said, Mom, just imagine that you're talking to me on the phone, and just speak to the congregation like we talk on the phone, or like we talk face to face. It's just that simple. She has been prayerfully working on this and studying and asking the Lord to help her. And so I know she has a good word for you today. I want you to welcome with me, if you will, my mom, Lou Keith.
Well, good morning. I have stood before thousands and sang and emceed and done big things that was in my comfort zone. But to share the word of the Lord is a great responsibility. This was never on my bucket list of things to do. But when you pray and ask God to use you in any way that He can, you don't say no when the opportunity comes. I wanted to say, no way. But God just reminds us that, hey, you asked for it. Now are you going to obey? So it's a privilege today to stand before you, and I can't feel my son's shoes, but I'll do the best I can. And as I prepared this message, I felt like I was preaching to myself first, because it was something I needed to hear for me. And I know that it's not a comfortable thing, but it's not about me. It's about Him whom I serve, and He will help me today. So I pray that you just open your heart and your mind to receive what God has given me. And if I have to stand here, I'm not going to be like Joyce Myers and walk across the pulpit, or be like many other ministers. I have to stand here for support, because I can't stand out in an open space. I would fall, and I don't want you to see that. It's not a pleasant thing. So so if I stand here and hold on to this, this gives me support. And I keep hitting this pulpit because I'm so short. I can't get my phone up high enough. So this season in my life, and I think many of you might relate to this, you feel like that maybe that God is kind of through with you, and you can just sit back and just be comfortable and just receive. But God has put in my heart to always be active and busy for Him. It's not just about good works, but it's just about being an open vessel that He can use. So I just thank God for this privilege today. I just finished a Bible study with the ladies at my church on this book of Daniel. And I really appreciated Beth Moore's study on this. I love her teaching. And this quote stood out to me in this recent study. She said, "My child, you believe me for so little. Don't be safe in the things you pray. Who are you trying to keep from looking foolish, me or you?" So I don't want to make the Lord look foolish, and I don't want to look foolish, because His word is forever, forever established in heaven, and it's not a foolish thing to share His word. I want to wish all you mothers a happy Mother's Day. It's such a privilege and an honor to be a mother. I love my sons. I love their families. It reminded me of a story of a mother. She was walking with her little son down a country lane. And the little boy, they found a dead bird in the lane. And he said, "Mommy, do birds go to heaven when they die?" She said, "Oh, yes, son." He said, "Well, why did God throw this one back down?" So it takes a lot of wisdom, doesn't it, to work with these little minds and to guide them and to teach them. But it's a great, great privilege to do so. The question that I would like to ask you today is, what do you see when you look into the mirror? You probably think that's kind of a funny question, but I think you'll see what as I go further on. But I'd like to pray right now over the word. Father, I just thank you for each one that you've brought here today. I pray that our ears and eyes and our hearts will be open to see what you have prepared for us, and that you will just help us, Father, to be all that you want us to be, to fulfill all your plans and purposes for us today. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming and anointing and blessing this word in Jesus' name. Amen. It's hard for me to speak about the Lord without weeping, but I will try to get through this. The scripture today is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and it's verse 12 and 13. It says, "Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three things remain, but the greatest of these is," the three things that remain is faith, hope, and love, "but the greatest of these is love." Pages are sticking together. This same scripture in the Living Bible reads like this: "In the same way, we can see and understand only a little about God now, as if we're peering at His reflection in a poor mirror. But someday we are going to see Him in His completeness, face to face. Now all that I know is hazy and blurred, just as God sees into my heart right now. Three things remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these in love is love." I know that in the natural, we don't always like what we see in the mirror. And I think this is more true for women than men. I don't think men think so much about it. I don't really know. But I think the list is endless in what we women see. We don't like our hair. We don't like our size. We don't like very much about us. We're always critiquing ourselves and not really liking what we see. You know, and as you get older, you see all these wrinkles and you see the gray hairs and you just, you know, you want to be different. But a wise woman once said, "The person I have the most trouble with is the one person I see in the mirror every day." That's true, isn't it? I believe that the scripture will help us in answering this dilemma that we're in. So turn to James chapter 1, verse 23. It says, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, He is like a man observing himself in a mirror. Let us be a doer of the word so we can reflect on who he is. Let's go a little further and read verse 24. It says that the ones who hears the word quickly forgets it, but the one who acts on the word continues in it and is blessed. So we want to be blessed, don't we? We need to get some action going, though, because faith without works is dead. So we need to get moving and find something to do for God, even if it's uncomfortable, even if it's something we don't feel that we're called to do or can do. God will give us the grace to do it. So we put works to our faith because faith without works is dead. So now, how do we become doers of the word? In Isaiah 64:8, it reads, "But now, Lord, you are our potter, and we are the clay, and all we are the works of your hands." We are not on this journey alone, my friends. God, who formed us in our mother's wounds, knows us, and he knows that we are weak and that we need a helper on this life's journey. He has given us his Holy Spirit to help us and his word to teach us the way and guide us into all truth. He is Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. He wrote our name in a book long before the world was created. He wrote the numbers of days we were given on this earth. He knows our name. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows every hair on our head. He knows when one of them falls, many of them fall. He wrote down every plan and purpose he has for us. Our Heavenly Father knows us. My daily prayer is, Lord, fulfill all those plans you have for me and for my family. This journey he is taking us on is not a yellow brick road, but it is filled with cracks and potholes, broken hearts, broken pieces that only he can fix. We are faced with many fiery trials and tests and deep valleys, but it is a walk of faith, trusting in the one who never leaves us or forsakes us. I'd like to read to you a story about God's refining and making us into a vessel that he can use. Something beautiful. Remember, he does everything for our good. Maybe you've heard of this story before, but it really has spoken to me over the years, and I needed to hear this for myself. And I think we need to be reminded of things often. A couple went into a shop, and sitting way up on the top shelf, the most gorgeous, the most beautiful little teacup. They said to each other, "We've just got to have this beautiful teacup for our new home." Just about then, and much to their amazement, the beautiful teacup began to talk to them. The teacup said, "You know, I haven't always looked like this. There was a time that I was just a hard, cold, ugly lump of gray clay. And then one day my master walked by and picked me up. He started patting me and rolling me and punching me. And I said, 'What are you doing? Ouch! Stop it! That hurts! Don't do that! Leave me alone! Put me down!' And he said, 'Not yet.' Then he put me on a wheel and he started spinning me around and around. And I said, 'Stop! I'm getting dizzy! I'm getting sick to my stomach! I can't stand it! What's happening? My whole shape is changing! What are you doing to me? Take me out of this!' And he said, 'Not yet.' So my shape changed, and would you believe it? He began to smear paint all over me. I said, 'Yuck, that stuff stinks. I can't breathe. I'm dying. Stop it. I can't stand it.' And he just said, 'Not yet.' And then he put me in an oven and he shut the door. This oven had a glass panel in it. And he just stood out there and looked at me. I said, "What's happening? Don't you want me? Get me out of here. I can't stand this heat. Why are you just looking at me? Don't you love me anymore? Don't you want me out of here? Get me out." And he just looked through the door and said, "Not yet." Finally, he opened the door and he took me out of the oven, and I said, "Thank God that's over." And then he put me on a shelf to dry. Then he slapped some more paint on me and he turned that oven back 7 times hotter. And before he shoved me back in, I said, "I can't stand it. I'm dying. Get me out of here. You don't understand. I can't stand it. This is too hot. Get me out." And he just looked through the glass and said, "Not yet." Finally, one day, he opened the door. He took me out of the oven. He set me on a shelf to cool off a while. And then he brought a mirror and he put it in front of me. I couldn't believe it. I was so different. I was so beautiful and was so changed. And now people everywhere want me. But you don't want to forget the rolling, the padding, the punching, the reshaping, the wheel turning, the heat of the oven, and the time on the shelf that made me desirable, usable, functional instrument that you see today. I dare say that every child of God in this house today can relate to this story. I know I can. I want to give you a personal testimony. And it's all about this shaping and this thing that we go through that makes us into the vessel that God wants us to be. In 1997, we were living in San Jose, California, and we'd lived in California for most of our married life. We celebrated 61 years last year, and we really had a good life there. Our boys were raised mostly in California near Disneyland. I mean, you don't, can't get much better than that. We had great churches. And the last church that we attended was the Assembly of God Church in San Jose called Bethel Assembly. Charles Crabtree was our pastor. Many of you probably heard of him. He went on to be our district superintendent, I mean our general superintendent in the assemblies. But there came a day, and I was on many committees. I had been on the women's ministry committee for 10 years. And we were just really involved in every area of the church. It ran about 2,000 people. And I had really, really many close friends. But God just lifted my burden one day. And it's like, I don't think I'm supposed to be here anymore, but I don't understand where I'm supposed to go or what I'm supposed to do. But my burden was lifted from that church. We both had good jobs, but Jack felt like it was time to retire, come back to Tennessee and be close to his mom, who was getting quite elderly, and spend some time with her. My parents had already gone to be with the Lord. But it was really hard for me to make that decision to come back to Tennessee because I didn't have anybody in my family here. And it meant leaving our oldest son and grandchildren in California. But one day I was praying. I was having my prayer time before work, and the Holy Spirit just flooded the room. And I just began to pray in the Spirit, and it was just a glorious time. And the Lord gave me a scripture, and I want to read it to you. It's in Isaiah 43:18. He says, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland." Well, that gave me a piece about the change, the move that we were going through. And I thought, yay, you know, it's going to be great. We're going to Tennessee and everything's going to be wonderful. But I tell you, it wasn't. I felt like I had been taken out of the promised land and dumped back into the desert. I mean, it was really, really hard. It was such a change. Coming from California to Tennessee was like going into another country. So, but Jack was having the blast. He was retired. He's with all of his brothers and sisters and going around meeting all of his old friends he grew up with. And I totally even felt forsaken by him. I just felt so alone, more alone than I've ever felt. And as I prayed and cried, oh, did I ever cry? And I said, Lord, have you forsaken me? I felt like I had really been put through the fire, and I just didn't like it at all. And I just cried and prayed out to the Lord, and that scripture came back to me, and I thought, okay, something quick, something good is going to happen. He's going to make things change. Nothing changed except me. Because God began to say, if I'm all you've got, can I be all you need? See, I had lost everything, my family, my friends, my church, and I even felt like I had lost him for a while. But God wanted to be everything that I needed. And he did. He became everything that I needed. There wasn't great changes as far as finding a good church, because there weren't any in the Assemblies of God. This is Church of God country around Chattanooga. Their headquarters is right there close by. So the Church of God's were the churches. And so that's where we ended up. And we've been there at this one for 13 years, I believe. And as soon as we came to that church, God began to open doors again for ministry. Not the works that I used to do, because with my age I can't do all those things, but he gave me the greatest, and that was to love, just to love people. So we became greeters at the front door, because the first day we walked in, I thought, there's a need here. There's a real need here. Because two little ladies were handing out bulletins, but this is what they were doing. They were just talking away and not even looking, just out of their peripheral vision, handing out bulletins. And I thought, that's not the way to build a church. That's not the way to greet people. So Jack and I went to the pastor, and we had a good talk, and I said, we've done this for years at a large church in San Jose. We really feel like we could help you by standing and greeting people and loving people, not just giving them a bulletin, but loving them. And so that's what we've been doing. We greet newcomers. Our main purpose is to meet first-time visitors, get acquainted with them, introduce them, and give them a gift. And it's been a great, great blessing. And many of them have said, we stayed at this church because we felt so loved. So that first thing, reaching out in love, can make a big difference in people's lives. I got off my notes, but I'll get back. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So beholding in a mirror connotes reflecting as well as looking into. So you see, as we behold his glory, the glory of our Lord, we are being continually transformed into the same image by the Spirit of the Lord. So we then, with ever-increasing glory, reflect on what we behold. So do you get it? You start looking in the spiritual rather than in the natural when you look into the mirror and see what God can do as he transforms you and changes you. And we know that as we draw closer to him in an intimate relationship, being broken and spilled out for him, then we can look into the mirror and begin to see the loving God who created us in his image and through his eyes of perfect love. And I thought the songs that were sung in worship this morning so connected with this, because it's all about His love, His perfect love, the way God sees us, not the way we see ourselves. So we are comforted in this and completed in this, knowing that we're free from all sins, stains, washed clean by the precious blood of the Lamb. So we need to get past saying, I believe in God, because even Satan and sinners believe there is a God or believe in God. But God says, do you believe me? He wants us to believe Him, who He is, that He can be to us what He says He will be and do what He says He can do. Can we just thank Him right now? I mean, what a blessed privilege to be in the loving arms of a God who can do for us what no one else can do. He can be to us what no one else can be. And He does it because He loves us, not because we're worthy. So, can we just thank Him and praise Him in our hearts right now for His great and love, and He's so worthy of it? I pray that, like the Apostle Paul, that I'm not what I used to be, nor have I obtained my goal to be all He wants me to be. Surely, this is an honest admission. What Christian has not sincerely grieved over his own spiritual shortcomings, over doing those things that we ought not to have done, and leaving undone the things we ought to have done? The Apostle Paul was acutely conscious of this very trait and tendency. We might take comfort that this great man of God had to deal with the same temptations as we do, but we are without excuse. Satan loves to whisper in our ears that we are the only ones facing these trials, and just give up. He spoke that to Noah, didn't he? But he wants to trap us in his snares and wallowing in despair, and to say that God is too small, that He cannot deliver us and change us by His unlimited grace and liberating power. We must not linger in the valley of spiritual desolation. There is a way to get rid of troublesome you and troublesome me. The cry of Romans 7:24 echoes from Paul to the very throne room of God. He cries out to God, "What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death?" And Luke 22:31 tells about the Lord speaking to Simon Peter that He is allowing Satan to sift him like wheat. And the Lord says to Peter, "I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you turn back, strengthen your brethren." To sift means to be put through a sieve to get rid of impurities or lumps, and to be pounded and break loose those things that hinder. Sounds kind of like the teacup, doesn't it? So don't you see how we have felt like that beautiful cup? And after this, Peter was about to strengthen his brethren because he was transformed into a beautiful vessel through this sifting process. Perhaps we can find a place where we can go to the Lord in prayer, or where we can be reminded that we too can make it. Just don't give up. Maybe you can put a little teacup, set one around in your prayer room or prayer closet or war room or whatever you call it, just to let it to be a reminder of the process of what God wants to bring us through. I'd like for us to turn to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 through 18. And it reads, "Therefore do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is here for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now I know much, I've told so many of my friends, I feel so much younger than I am, and I don't care to say I'm 78 years old, soon will be 79. And I get very frustrated because in my mind, I still feel young. I still feel like I can do things that I can't do. But because our mind is being renewed daily, isn't it, by the Word of God. But our bodies do get old and feeble. What if the handle is broken off of a teacup, a beautiful teacup? Do you throw it away, or can you find another way to use it? Maybe we've lost our talents. Maybe we've lost our voice to sing like we used to, or maybe we've become crippled or old or whatever. But God can still use broken pieces. He can use anyone who has a heart to surrender. And I thought, why not use that little teacup to put a little bouquet in that would hide the handle that's gone and make a beautiful fragrance? That's what God wants to do. He wants to take our broken pieces, our broken hearts, and create in us a beautiful fragrance of His love, something beautiful for Him. In the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This word conformed in the Strong's Concordance means scheme. This refers to the conforming oneself to the outer fashion or outward appearance, accommodating oneself to a modern pattern. You can read about in 1 Peter 1:14 where it says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires that you had when you lived in ignorance. So if we want to be transformed into His image, then we must follow God's word and follow the way He taught and lived. I had someone say one time, if you really want to know God, read all the red letters. Don't read anything else, but just read the red letters, because that's who God is, and that's what He's taught, teaching us. So then we can begin to look in the mirror, not as the world looks, but as Christ looks at us, transformed in His image by His grace. So don't lose heart because of our faith and hope for the future glory that awaits us. We can enjoy all the days that are giving us, knowing that even in our broken pieces, He can still use us. He is always making intercession for us, and His plans for us are always for good. So now we can see by faith, looking into the mirror, and see the potter's hand working on the inside of us, the soulish man, until the reflection of who he is becomes a light shining brightly in the world of this gross darkness around us. It's getting darker and darker, isn't it? And I pray that we will all shine brighter and brighter, that the world can draw people that we can draw people into the kingdom of light. So let's look back at our scripture for today in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 12 through 13. Remember these three things that remain: faith, hope, love, and the greatest of these is love. The Bible says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We can look into the mirror of our soulish man with faith and hope that we will be changed and perfected when we receive our heavenly bodies. I can't wait. The second is hope. In the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 24-25, it says, "For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one hope for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. We hope for our new bodies, our home in heaven, to be with our Lord forever. But right now we cannot know or see what it will really be like. But we know that we shall be like him." Praise the Lord. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 17-18, Paul gives these instructions and encouragement with this prayer. "I ask the God of glory to make you intelligent and discerning in knowing him personally, your eyes focused and clear, so that you can see exactly what he is calling you to do, to grasp the immunity of this glorious way of life he has for his followers. Oh, the utter extravagance of his work in us who trust him." Wow. The world to come in us, the word to come in us today, alive and well. Now the last word is love. God's pure and perfect love is that while we were so full of sin, he died for us and he took all our sins upon himself. You see how our Father looks at us so different than we see ourselves. We might say, "But Father, look at my sin, my failures, my shortcomings." And the Father says, "What sin?" "They have all been cast into the sea of forgetfulness." He now sees us, you and me, as the one whose sins has been forgiven and covered by his precious blood, and who is being molded and perfected and changed into his likeness. Oh, what extravagant love he has for his children. My prayer for all of us is that we will seek a baptism of love in our hearts every day. My husband and I have formed found in the church that he has put us in, that we feel that rhema word that he gave me back in 1978 is now being answered. We are highly blessed and favored. And even though I'm not full of good works like I used to be, I think I've chosen the better thing in this season of my life, and that is love. Our Sundays, we greet, as I've told you. And we've made so many new friends because for so long, I felt so friendless. I have found that, and I didn't remember this growing up, I grew up in the South. I grew up in Arkansas, but when we came back, it was like the churches were full of people who had all their families around them, their children, grandchildren, and they didn't reach out to other people. They just sort of kept to themselves, and it was really, really hard, and I think it gets harder as you get older to make friends. Real friends are people that you can share life experiences with. But it was really, really hard to make friends. It took a long time. But after we came to this church that we're in now, as we began to reach out and love strangers and love others, God brought wonderful people into our lives, and now we have great friends. They're not the kind of friends that we left in California that we shared things with, shared life with for so many years. But they're great friends. So God has fulfilled that need. So as I bring this to a close, I asked you to reflect upon the story that I read of the teacup. All our tests and trials, the pounding, the shaping, the heat, the punching, the spinning wheel, everything that hurts and makes us feel forsaken, are working in us for a greater glory. Unless we are willing to grow through the fiery furnace of test, We cannot be changed or purified and come forth as pure gold. This precious process is what produces in us the likeness of Christ. So when these tests come, let's not be like the teacup and say, "Stop, Lord." But let's just say, "Lord, teach me whatever you want me to learn. Whatever way I can grow through this, please show me and help me to be patient and to learn, not to give up, but to keep on, because the journey ahead is going to have many tests and trials. But oh, the glory that awaits us. It will be worth it all, won't it? It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. So I pray that the Lord breaks us and molds us and makes us into a vessel that he can use for his glory. He is the potter and we are the clay. So help us to surrender today to the master potter so we can look in the mirror with our spiritual eyes and see your image, Lord, looking back at us. My sister-in-law sent me something last night on Facebook, and I want to share it. It says, "On the darkest days when I feel inadequate, unloved, unworthy, I remember whose daughter I am, and I straighten my crown." Isn't that wonderful? Because God sees us as his princess, his daughter. We are royalty. We are royalty. We have been made royal daughters of Christ the King. So let us draw near enough to his living water that it splashes on all around us. That's what I want to leave with you today. Let God's living water splash on everyone around you. God bless you.
Stay right here. I'd like you to lead us in prayer this morning. Would everyone stand this morning? And just as you shared this morning, there's some things that I know that we're all experiencing, the brokenness, the inadequacy. I think we all have insecurities in our lives in different ways. I would like for you to lead the congregation in prayer this morning for that.
Father, we all feel like sometimes we're just nothing. But we have to be reminded that in you we have everything that we need, everything that we want deep down in our hearts that only you can fill. So Father, I pray today for every hurting heart, for maybe every mother who's feeling so lonely and maybe forsaken today. Maybe they've lost children and their hearts are aching for those children. I pray for the peace of God that passes all understanding will now fill every heart and soul. God, that you would be everything that we need. Lord, we know there's loss, there's vacancies. There'll always be those places in our heart that only you can fill, Father God. So we ask you to fill every heart today with your love, with your peace, that you put together every broken piece in families, Lord, where there's maybe estrangement and division. God, that you heal, that you put together something so beautiful that, Lord God, we can just see your hand upon our lives working in us, that you promised you would never leave us nor forsake us. We are yours. And, Lord, we love you and we thank you and we praise you that we can call on your name and you instantly hear us. And maybe it doesn't happen in our time and in our way, but you do answer, Father, because you're faithful and you cannot be unfaithful. So we bless you and thank you today in Jesus' name. Amen.